Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. What might it be like when God judges America for its personal and national sins? All we need do is see what God did to Judah in the days of Jeremiah, when both the righteous and the wicked suffered. Today, more lessons from those ancient days. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the Church in Babylon. Erwin Lutzer takes us to the book of Jeremiah, revealing more things to look out for when God judges a nation.
Number six, when a nation is judged, the righteous suffer with the wicked. The righteous suffer with the wicked. You see, when this nation was judged, and you had all these people going to Babylon, there were righteous people among them. That's why we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel eventually and so forth, because Daniel is one of the ones who is carried off into Babylon, and there he is living for God in a pagan culture. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those guys living for God in a pagan culture. They don't bow before the idols of their culture. And that's why what we need to do is to learn that. So they themselves experience temporal judgment, not eternal judgment. I mean, that's the thing. The city of God and the city of man are concurrent only in this life. Eventually, they will be separated after the final judgment. The righteous in one place, the unbelievers in the other. But the point to be made is that we also suffer. If a nation goes downhill economically because of an overspending government, we all suffer as a result of that. So that's just an observation to be made. True historically, true today. Number seven. God uses evil nations to judge his own people. God uses evil nations to judge his own people. Now, you have to think about the book of Habakkuk. You remember Habakkuk? He's writing during this period of time. Habakkuk is saying, oh, there's so much wickedness in the earth. God says, Habakkuk, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm raising up the Babylonians to come against your nation. Habakkuk says, you've got to be kidding. Now, this, of course, is the paraphrased version. He's saying, you can't be real, God. They're worse than we are. God says, I know they're worse than you are, and I'll judge them for their evil, but I'm using them against you to destroy your city because you don't turn to me. Wow. Europe is understanding this. I know that most Muslims, and I hope that many are listening right now, we don't paint Islam with a big brush because we know that there are many Muslims who don't want Sharia law. The ones that live near you, I'm sure, want to live peaceful lives, and they make good neighbors. But Europe, some of the countries there, the game is over. I've talked to historians because of the birth rate and all. The time will come. You know what God said in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy? He says, as a judgment, just catch this for a moment. He said, as a judgment, your children will worship other gods. Wow. What does that say about generations? And what you're going to find is Sharia law begins to gain steam in some of the European countries that are totally paralyzed, completely paralyzed by political correctness. We'll see there what happens. Oh, we're not as bad as the people who fly planes into buildings and kill innocent ones. God says, yeah, but those are the kinds of people I use when a nation turns from God. Number eight, the Lord, and isn't it time for hope after all this? I think so. How many of you say, Pastor, it's time for some hope here? All right, we have a, I don't know if that's a quorum, but I'm going with hope right now. God gives us promises to live in a pagan culture. God gives us promises. We haven't looked in detail in the book of Jeremiah by any means, but you remember it is Jeremiah 33:3 that says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, there's a man in the book of Jeremiah, and I wish I could tell you his story. He pulled Jeremiah out of the pit and even had pads under the ropes so that the prophet wouldn't be hurt. And you know, this man who was an African, he's from Ethiopia, he was scared with the coming judgment. He said, boy, am I ever scared. You know what God said to him? God says, I am going to deliver you. This is in chapter 39. Because you trust me, there's not anything that's going to happen to you. You're going to survive this. Not because he was good, not because he was courageous. God says, because you trust me. And God gives promises to his people. You know, when you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through the floods, you'll not be overcome. God always stands with his people in a time of trial. Tony Evans, great African-American preacher, friend of mine. I was actually with him last week, if you can believe it. And he tells this story that I love. He and Lois, his wife, were on a cruise. And over the intercom came the thing that, we're headed into a storm, so buckle up, it's going to be rough. Lois didn't like it. So she calls the captain and talks to his assistant and said, if we're going into a storm, why don't we just stay here, let the storm blow over and put down anchor here, and then we can go into the storm. The assistant said, I'll get back to you in a moment. I'll talk to the captain. He calls back and says two things. Number one, and I'm sure number one was said very diplomatically, he wanted me to remind you that he's in charge and you're not. That would be a good thing to be reminded of. And then number two, he said this, and I want to give you a sentence that I never want you to forget. On your deathbed, you should be able to quote this. Are you ready for it? All in the balcony, wherever you're listening, are you ready for the sentence? He said, tell her that this ship was built with this storm in mind. And when you trust Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins and took God's judgment and was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, I tell you, that ship was built with our storm in mind. Do you agree with that? Eh? Yeah? God's going to walk with us through this. Lesson number 9, we must not be passive because we have work to do. You see, you were born into this generation because God says, I want you right now. And I want you to be able to spend your life telling about the excellencies of God and the redemption of God. The nation might not believe, but your neighbors might. And what you need to do is to be able to witness to the glory and the forgiveness of God, because during times like this, God is calling out a people for his name's sake. And he's calling out those people, and he's using me and you to do it. This past summer, a teenager committed suicide, left a note and said, I've messed up too many times. I was actually at a Bible camp talking with one of the professors there, and I said, tomorrow I'm preaching a message on why he didn't have to commit suicide. Never preached that message at Moody Church. See, I don't get to preach here as often as I could. That's actually somewhat of a joke since I preach here all the time. But I pointed out that if he understood the gospel, nobody ever has to commit suicide. Mess up? We've all messed up. Jesus died for people who've messed up. Aren't you glad for that? That he died for people who have messed up. Do you realize something of the judgment of God in this message? I mean, just judgment. God says, I'm going to become the enemy of Israel. I'm going to destroy you. God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to use nations to do it, but I'm doing it. That ought to scare you. Typhoons ought to scare you. Tsunamis ought to scare you about the terrifying nature of God. And that's why this world needs the message of God's grace and the message of Jesus. You remember the days when prairie fires used to devastate homes and homesteads? What the farmers used to do when the wind was blowing favorably is to start a fire around their homestead. Burn it all, you know, as far, maybe a quarter of a mile or whatever. And then they knew that if the fire came, it would not come to them, because their homestead was standing on ground that had already been burned. The Bible says it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But when you come to Jesus, you're standing where the fire of God has already struck where the fire of God has been burned and Jesus took the hell that you and I deserve. And so what we do is we proclaim this gospel to everyone. Those of you who are depressed, those of you from other religions, you come and believe on Jesus, the Savior of the world. We invite you to do that. And that's why we're in this country now. But we're pointing people to another country, to a greater country, to another city whose builder and maker is God. Right now, wherever you are, you can trust Christ as your Savior. However you are listening to this, internet, radio, whatever, you come to Christ and he will forgive you and accept you, and you will be exempt from the wrath of God to come. That's the message for America today. May tens of thousands believe. And if you will, let us pray. Father, in a time of universal falsehood, someone has said the truth is there, but it is often so obscure that unless we love the truth, we won't hear it. Help us to be truth lovers. We pray that for a great nation. We pray that for ourselves. And we pray even now that as this invitation has gone out, that many people will believe on Christ. May they be terrified to fall into your hands unprepared, but to know that Jesus paid the debt, and if they believe, they will be exempt. Draw many to yourself today, we ask. And even as we sing about the greatness of our God, may we sing with worship, adoration, and love. We ask in his blessed name. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Perhaps this message was especially for you. I trust that if you've never believed on Jesus Christ, that you will do so now, or perhaps you have done it as a result of our ministry. If that happens, would you connect with us? We are always encouraged to hear that running to win goes to unlikely places, sometimes to offices, to cars where people may be driving along the road. I sometimes have received letters and comments from people who listen in various ways. They transfer messages to iPods and they listen. So many different ways to communicate. If you get back to us and encourage us, I know that you'll be a great blessing to us in return. And let me thank the many of you who support our ministry. Some of you pray for us regularly. It's the greatest encouragement I could receive is when people assure us of their prayers. Many of you give financially, and we thank you. You know, without your partnership, we could not continue. We're dependent upon the people of God as we seek to reach as many people as we possibly can with Running to Win. Thanks in advance for your help.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up When God Judges a Nation, his fifth message on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, mourning the destruction of a great city. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.